بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We continue to study this blessed book of عمدة الأحكام, and with the grace of Allah, we finished 84 hadiths of it, which is an achievement that could not have been possible had it not been to the grace and blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. All praise be to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have two hadiths that revolve on the same topics that we mentioned last time we met. So we have to read it and say if there is anything to be highlighted so that we would be considered to have read the whole book and finished a whole matin or a whole text of knowledge as it is known among the students of knowledge. Hadith number 85. Yes, brother.
Narrated Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, whenever Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood for Salat, he said Takbir, Allahu Akbar, on starting the prayer and then on bowing. On rising from bowing, he said Samiallahu liman hamida, and then while standing straight, he used to say Rabbana lakal hamd. Allah said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said wa lakal hamd.
So this is two narrations, Rabbana lakal hamd or Rabbana wa lakal hamd. So Abu Layth or Al-Layth is one of the narrators of the hadith.
He used to say takbir on prostrating, and on raising his head from prostration, again he would say takbir on prostrating, and on raising his head from prostration. He would then do the same in the whole of the prayer till it was completed. And on raising from the second rakat after sitting for at-tahiyyat, he used to say takbir.
Jazakallah khair. Hadith number 86. Yes, brother.
Narrated, Mutarrif bin Abdullah, Imran bin Hussein and I offered the prayer behind Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. When Ali radiallahu anhu prostrated, he said the takbir. When he raised his head, he said takbir. And when he got up for the third rakah, he said the takbir. On completion of the prayer, Imran took my hand and said, this, Ali radiallahu anhu, made me remember the salah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or he said he led us in the salah like that of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Bukhari.
Jazakallah khair. Now these two hadiths are similar to the ones that we've read before, and there is no extra knowledge in it, except scholars say that the emphasis on takbir between pillars, and that is why scholars differed what is the ruling on such takbir. Some of the schools of thought stated that it is mandatory upon all, whether imam, follower or individual, to say the takbir before moving from one pillar to the other. When you bow, when you prostrate, when you sit from the prostration, you always have to say Allahu Akbar. They say this is mandatory. And among them is Imam Ahmad, Dawood al-Zahiri. They say that this is mandatory. Other schools of thought said that it is sunnah, it is recommended. Yet the difference is very important. Why? Because if it's sunnah, if I go to the bowing position without saying Allahu Akbar, if I just go like this, the schools that say it's okay make my prayer okay. But according to Imam Ahmad and to the Imam Dawood al-Zahiri of the Zahiri school, they say your prayer is invalid if you did that intentionally. And the most authentic opinion is that it is mandatory to say the takbir before moving from one pillar to the other, and to say Sami'allahu liman hamidah when you raise your head from the bowing position. This is the most authentic opinion, simply because the Prophet said, alayhi salam, pray as you have seen me pray. And this was all the time done by the Prophet ﷺ, not left out a single time. So it means that it was mandatory. Now, if you look at prayer, you would find that glorifying Allah Azza wa Jal is throughout the whole prayer. What is the most frequent phrase that we say in prayer? Allahu Akbar. And we seem to neglect that Allah Azza wa Jal is bigger than anything that crosses our mind. Imagine, how many times do we hear the Muadzin say Allahu Akbar throughout the day and night? I will not let you calculate. 50 times. 30 in the Adhan and 20 in the Iqamah. So 50 times you repeat behind the Imam. Allahu Akbar, well, 30 times for the Adhan. And you hear it 50 times. Not only that, in a single unit, in a single rak'ah, how many times do you say Allahu Akbar? When we bow, when we prostrate, sit, prostrate, and stand. So in a prayer of four rak'ah, at least if in the five daily prayers, with the sunan, you would probably do 120, 130, give or take. Takbir, you as an individual. After you finish prayer, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar 33 times. Multiply by five, you do the math. Before you go to bed, Allahu Akbar 34 times. When you offer Salat al-Eid, Allahu Akbar 7 times and 5 times. So takbir is everywhere in our religion. To the extent, I would not be exaggerating if I say that this is brainwashing. But it is a positive brainwashing, form of brainwashing. Why? When you all the time repeat Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, what does that translate to? Allah is greater than. But you never seem to mention what Allah is greater than. You simply say Allah is greater than. So, is He greater than my father who instructs me to do bad things and forces me to sin? Yes, He is. Is He greater than my teacher or my headmaster? Yes, He is. Is He greater than my wife who keeps on nagging and demanding and wanting this and wanting that? Yes, He is. Is He greater than my boss, who I think has the ability to give me a bonus or to kick me out? Yes, He is. So when I stand in prayer and say, Allahu Akbar, I actually feel what this great word means. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ, whenever he attacked a city or a village, he said, Allahu Akbar, kharibat Khaybar. Khaybar is destroyed. Allahu Akbar. Whenever they went up a mountain, they would say Allahu Akbar. And they would praise Allah whenever they went to a valley. So saying Allahu Akbar is something that is great. And it is the essence of our prayer, to glorify Allah Azza wa Jal, to praise Allah. This is what prayer is used for. So this form of brainwashing, it's a positive one. Because if you want to sin, you always remember, ooh, Allahu Akbar. And likewise, if you watch, for example, like so many people do, if you watch wrestling, a lot of the Muslims are so into WWO, WWI, WWE, whatever, they have so many names. And I've seen the children in Saudi Arabia wearing t-shirts with wrestlers on, pictures, idols. They don't know that this is a form of brainwashing. Why? Because the more you watch it, it's embedded in your brains that these kafir or these disbelievers or these non-Muslims are strong, are so powerful. They hit them with the axes, they hit them with the sticks, they hit them with chairs, with ladders, with boots. MashaAllah, nothing happens to them. I accidentally run into the door, I start bleeding all over. Then these guys are supermen. And this makes us afraid, intimidated, makes us feel small and weak. Why? Because we are brainwashing ourselves. We think that they are the strongest, but they're not. Allahu Akbar. So that is why when we contemplate and believe in that Allah is greater than anything else, we learn our religion, we perfect our salat as well. We move on to hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib, and who will read it to us? Yes, brother.
Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu reported, "I noticed paid careful attention to the salat of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and saw his qiyam, standing, his ruku, bowing, and then
i'tidal,
going back to the standing position after bowing, his sajda, prostration, his jalsa, sitting, between the two prostrations, his sajda and jals between taslim, salutation, and going away, all these were nearly equal to one another, Muslim. The ruku, bowing of the Prophet, as well as his sujood, prostration, sitting, bayna sajdatayn, in between the two prostrations, and the standing, when he raised his head from bowing, but not qiyam, standing in the prayer, nor qunud, sitting in the prayer, used to be approximately equal in duration." Al-Bukhari.
Okay, this translation again is a little bit different to the text itself of Umdatul Ahkam. It is much less in Umdatul Ahkam than this, because this was taken from the original books of Bukhari and Muslim. We have a short break, and afterwards, inshallah, we'll be discussing the lessons to be learned from this hadith. So stay tuned.